Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. The topic of today's show is the first ray power, or will. And I like this thought. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities are the seven rays. And basically, we're going to be speaking about the seven rays that I just mentioned, but they're not rays the way we think of rays. They're about energies and subtleties and frequencies that have a profound effect not only on humanity, but all of life. And science is finding out that there is so much to reality, the universe, than meets the eye, or than that can be detected by the five senses. There is so much available that we're finding out that does have such an effect on mankind. And I think it's important that we sum up our last show. Can you sum up our last discussion, which introduced the seven rays?
Well, I'll try. The seven rays, first of all, are the sevenfold expression of divinity. They are divine energies that condition all aspects, all manifestations of life on our planet. God is one, but his quality is sevenfold. It's said that the number or the vibration of evolution is seven. And we talked about how you can see that in the fact that there are the seven notes of the musical scale. And the week is based on 7 days. The vibration of seven manifests throughout nature, and it affects also the manifestation of every form. This is what we know as the seven rays. And I think the most important thing to keep in mind when examining their psychological effects is that these are divine energies. So any discussion of them doesn't rank one ray as better than another or one ray as of a lesser quality. They are all divine in origin.
Yes, and you can see them manifesting. The same seven differentiations are seen in the seven rays of the seven colors of the spectrum, mm-hmm. of sunlight.
Right.
A beam of light shown through a prism differentiates into seven basic paths of different colors and vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Literally seven rays.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And these are essentially the same kind of ray. They have different colorations and they have different vibration levels, mm-hmm. but they all emanate from deity. And they are means by which deity expresses its life here on earth through humanity. And so all human beings are made up of these seven basic qualities in various combinations.
And I think another point to bring up, as we said in the introduction to this whole subject, which is extremely complex, profound in its spiritual implications, is that if it sounds simplistic, that's our fault, not the fault of the teaching of the ageless wisdom, because in fact it's an extremely complicated science. The teaching on the seven rays is a science, and all we want to do through these discussions is just to introduce the subject to listeners who then might want to explore it a bit more on their own. Mm-hmm. But to really learn about the seven rays requires a great deal of study.
Yeah, each ray is by itself. As we said, they are energies in motion, and it's the way that deity makes contact with the world. But each ray has a certain purity of its own, but which becomes tempered or qualified and reduced in quality when it mingles with the human substance, and its purity is then further modified and when combined with other ray qualities. So we will, in future programs, we will be looking at this and how these qualities manifest in the world and through human actions.
Well, today we'll continue our discussion on the seven rays, but we'll talk about the first ray of will and power. And once again, it has to do with energies that affect us. The first ray loves isolation. I guess that's one of the characteristics of a person who's...
A first-ray person, we should say.
Okay, that first-ray person loves isolation. That's one of the characteristics of that person who's under the influence of the first ray. Mm-hmm. And it's the line of least resistance. He's the one who normally stands alone. And this is his strength, and it's also his weakness. And that comes from the writings of Alice Bailey. How can something be both a strength and a weakness?
It relates to what Dale was saying a few moments ago about how these seven expressions of divinity, they are the qualities of God, in a sense, if we think of them in that way. And maybe I should just take a moment to run through them again for our listeners. The first ray of power, second ray of love, the third ray of active intelligence, the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, the fifth ray of science, the sixth ray of devotion, and the seventh ray of organization. These are the sevenfold expression of divinity, but they become distorted just as the prism breaks down the rays of light into different colors and frequencies. As these rays express through form, depending on the purity or impurity of that form, the rays are degenerated, I guess you could say. And that's what makes an energy, it's essentially an energy which is impersonal, into either a strength or a weakness.
Right, and it said in the quote there, the first ray person loves isolation. Well, isolation at one point on the path can be a kind of a weakness, because mm-hmm. it could lead a person, it tends to make a first ray person, or a person who was very strongly oriented along this first ray line, tends to make him isolated. He wants to do things on his own. Whatever plans he has, he wants to be his plans. And if he's very selfish, or in his own makeup, or if he's self-centered, mm-hmm. that can turn the energy inward onto the person, and it could lead to crystallization after a while.
But you can also see that the ability to stand on your own, to be independent, to be responsible for yourself and for your spiritual development is a great strength, to lose the dependency on others.
That's right, yeah. So, I mean, that's where this isolation can be both a strength and a weakness. Mm-hmm. It depends on the person, where his consciousness is focused. If it's very focused on himself, then that ray energy, that quality, is going to lead to a certain amount of crystallization, mm-hmm. and he's going to see himself as standing apart from everybody else.
That's what I find so fascinating about the study of the rays in terms of human psychology. It helps you understand that all energy can be either expressed in a refined and spiritually positive way, or it can be distorted into a degradation of that energy For example, the tendency to become static and crystallized, as Dale mentioned, is an attribute of the first ray that is more negative. But that same capacity to stand, to be firm, to be resistant to the pressure from outside sources is a great strength. And so it makes you realize, as you study the rays, that all of us are in the process of becoming. We're developing, and we're constantly having to correct for an imbalance of energies within ourselves. It helps us to see how we have to grow, and it helps us to perhaps to be a little more patient with others.
And this ray is, as it says, it's the ray of power and will. So it is a very strong energy,
and it's the strongest, isn't
the strongest of the energies that emanate from God, and that's why it has to be very carefully handled, and it has to be balanced. So that's why it said to the first ray should be balanced out by a quality of love, and where that love is absent, where it's not present, or if you have just pure first ray force by itself, then it can be very destructive.
One comment I like from the writings of Alice Bailey is that the individual who's strongly influenced by the first ray must use that will on himself or herself, not on others.
How would the first ray person, how would he respond to something I read by Krishnamurti, where he suggests that as far as following and finding a spiritual path, that we become a light unto ourselves, and I think maybe it was also said by Buddha. How would the first ray person respond to something like that?
I think that would fit his spiritual development very appropriately, to be a lamp unto oneself. Mm-hmm. The first ray person is capable of standing alone and forging his way fearlessly in his spiritual development. The fearlessness of the first ray is something everyone needs to cultivate. The courage to develop spiritually and to face oneself and to hone and refine one's mind and emotions. That's the ability of the first ray person to make his way on his own without dependency on others.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But that can be, as also we mentioned, it can be a weakness too, mm-hmm. because where there is a strong first ray, there may be a tendency just to go barging ahead, mm-hmm. forcing his ideas mm-hmm. on the group or the people he is working with. Let's say it's a businessman that he wants to establish a new business, and he has this vision, and he charges ahead. He actually provides the power to and the persistence of the energy to bring about this new venture. But it takes cooperation with a lot of other people to build a new business like that. But if he finds it difficult to cooperate because of a strong first-ray tendency, then, he could end up, the company could self-destruct.
Maybe a good way to sum up this mm-hmm. question is something mm-hmm. that's said in the writings of Alice Bailey, that wherever we identify our greatest strengths, that's where our weaknesses can also appear.
Mm. I have to think about that one a while. Mm-hmm. But today we're talking about nuances of energy that affect people and have a profound effect upon people. And I think this is something that people can relate to because we're living in an age where science is constantly demonstrating that there is so much to reality in the universe that has to do with things that we're not able to see, touch, feel, and yet they have a profound effect upon us. So, as Sarah mentioned before, she mentioned that we can explore our topics further. We're just skimming the surface in these shows. We'd like you to get into depth if you're interested in scratching the surface of the rays, the energies that affect mankind, humanity, the individual. And to do so, what you can do is read the works of Alice Bailey. And there are 24 volumes of literature, of books, that have been written by Alice Bailey, and the dialogue, the shows that we do here, emanate from the writings of Alice Bailey. And so if you'd like to look further into her works in order to do an in-depth study or exploration of the seven rays, the energies that affect the individuals and have a profound effect on personality, you certainly may do so. What would you say it would be the best book that they can read if they want to pursue the seven rays?
Esoteric psychology would be the introduction.
Okay, esoteric psychology would be the book you would order if you'd like to peruse the seven rays and look at them further. And also, if you'd like to order all 24 volumes of books, if you do so, you'll get a 10% discount only if you order them from Lucis Trust. Of course, you can buy them from Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, Borders, and other places as well. But if you'd like the 10% discount, order them from Lucis Trust at the following toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. Or the easy way of remembering the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And our website, www.lucistrust.org. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. If you key into our website, you can look at our previous shows. We have an archive. We've created a library of shows that are archived, and you can look at those previous shows. They have some interesting topics, such as who are we or what is self, and how do we make changes within ourself. That's a very tough thing to do, but we look into that in one of our shows. Also, if you'd like to order cassette tapes of the radio shows or cassette tapes of some of our books and or a cassette tape of this particular show, you can call us once again at 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NY-LUCIS. People often ask us who we are, what we're all about. I guess the best answer is we're not a religion. You can certainly find out about how to get involved with Lucis Trust. We certainly welcome you to bring your various thoughts and religions with you if you come to meet with us, and you can explore life philosophy with us. And that's basically what we do, and we welcome you. You mentioned that the rays is threefold in its expression. How does this apply to the first ray?
The first ray's threefold expression is as purification, destruction, and organization. Those are the three components of this tremendous, and again, I should remind people, divine energy. Purification is the clearing away of all impediments. Destruction might be a surprise to people to think that that's an expression of divine intention, but I think we find an example in nature through the process of fire, clearing away the dross, the dead forms in the natural world, then makes possible the regeneration of life. Fire is a very necessary part of the natural world. That's a good example of the spiritual basis of destruction. Organization, we see that throughout nature, the divine and precise order in the construction of life. The manifestation of life, perhaps I should say.
Yeah, I think the another name given to this ray is called the destroyer ray. Mm. And as you said, destruction is very necessary.
Makes me think of Star Wars.
Yeah. And destruction is very necessary because we have to destroy the old to make way for the new. And that's constantly happening here in the world. If you live in a big city, you know that it's undergoing change all the time. We're destroying old buildings and putting up new ones. And the old forms of thought, which are no longer adequate, have to be replaced. And in that replacement of something in the form of something better, there is a destruction that sets in.
It's death. Isn't a good synonym death?
Sure, and but even death is, which seems like destruction, is a beneficent undertaking, a beneficent process, and that's really all that is going on. Because, as I said, it is necessary that this destructive quality also be used with a great love. Because that's essentially what God does.
We can look, too, in the world and see this process of destruction. You could say that the World War, in its phases, the First World War and the Second World War, it's really one great war of the past century, was the manifestation of destruction on a worldwide scale. And from the spiritual point of view, after all of the suffering, all of the death and the terrible sorrow that was caused by this war, something was cleared away in human consciousness that has made possible a better world as a result. Old limiting thought forms and old incorrect relationships between the world's peoples were eliminated, or you could say transformed, transmuted through the war. A lot of the nations that had been under the governance of colonial powers achieved their freedom after the war. That's an example of how destruction can lead to new life.
And very much, this first ray was very much active during that war time, and we can get into that in a minute if you like, but it's a very interesting how that works out.
Well, that brings me to the next question. We're looking at we've been looking a lot at the individual for most of the show and how the first ray affects the individual personality. But how does the first ray, how does it work out on the world scene in a larger sense?
Last time we mentioned that not only human beings are governed by the seven rays, but so are nations, peoples. And they are governed both as the soul of the people and the personality or the outer persona of a particular nation are both colored by one ray or another. And it's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that the soul of two nations is governed by the first ray of power or will, the nations of China and India. And there are two other nations whose personality or whose outer presentation to the world is governed by the first ray, and they are Germany and Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. And so that relationship along the first ray line makes them actually have a close relationship in a way.
And Britain and India, for example.
Britain and mm-hmm. India, and also with Germany, because, mm-hmm. I mean, the royal family mm-hmm. Has a German lineage. In Britain. And also it's interesting, I mentioned earlier about the effect of this first ray and the during the World War I and II, because prior to the 20th century there was a tremendous imprisonment of the human soul in the form of dense materialism. Mm-hmm. And this had the grip of human consciousness very strongly. And that's essentially what had to be destroyed. And you find that after World War I, there was this tremendous first ray inflow of energy then. And there was a great release in the roaring 20s. You remember, there was a tremendously creative period. Mm-hmm. And then it began to build up in more during the Depression years in the 30s. And there had still more work to be done in that regards to the releasing of the human soul from this imprisonment in materialism. And so it really led to the conditions that led to World War II as well. And Great Britain declared war in 1939 on Germany, and there was set in motion a destructive force by the ray energies. But in working through the German country at that time, this energy was misapplied and misdirected, and that led Germany to invade Poland. So, I mean, these are simply ways that this energy can work out through nations.
You can also see the energy work out on the world scene through individual leaders. For example, the writings of Alice Bailey say that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was a great example of the first ray leader. And when you think back to the beginning of his first term, he came into office in 1932 at the heart of the Depression. He closed the banks, reopened them. He started new programs to bring social relief to people who were really impoverished. He tried in his first way to remake the Supreme Court, but Congress stopped him. But generally, he used his power in ways that served the people, not only the American people, but during the Second World War, the people of the world. And a good example of this first ray energy at its most beneficent is the four freedoms that Roosevelt defined for all people: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, and freedom from want, and freedom from fear. That very concise summing up of basic human needs is typical of the first ray.
Yes, that's, and another objective of the first ray is synthesis, mm-hmm. and that is really...
comprehensiveness, would you say, is mm-hmm. a synonym for synthesis?
And synthesis is one of the, really, the objectives of all evolution in human consciousness, to arrive at a point of synthetic understanding in consciousness. And so Roosevelt really... kind of summed that all up in his life and his great expressions of the four freedoms.
Does the study of the seven rays lead to stereotyping mm-hmm. people? And also, are there only seven? What people might find confusing is the fact that are there only seven types among all 6 billion of us on the planet?
No.
Okay.
As we've said before, the seven rays work out on various levels of the human psyche. The soul is governed by a particular ray, the personality by another, and then the mind, the emotions, and the physical body are also governed by rays on each level. So a person can have up to five different rays expressing through him or her. And this makes it very complex. We should never use an understanding of psychology in any way to stereotype people. Mm-hmm. It's too simplistic. It's like shorthand. And it isn't right, because it ignores the subtleties of the human psyche. Mm-hmm. So it would only be a misuse of the seven rays that would stereotype people. What it does, I think, is help you to understand the differences and the nuances of human beings that makes us all different. Mm-hmm. And gives us tolerance.
Yeah, and it's the combination of these rays that's so difficult to kind of work through, because they work on each other, and they work mm-hmm. upon, and they modify and qualify, mm-hmm. as we've been talking about the destructiveness and the power of the first ray. If it's modified by love, the second ray of love and wisdom, then you have a very able and strong and beneficent leader in the world, and that would be a good example of.
Okay, this show is funded. We just want to say this show is funded by the generous donations of our listeners, and we welcome your support. And that's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.